So this morning, I'm going to ask you just to reflect on something. How's your heart? I hope it's filled with hope on a day like today. You see, Jesus' resurrection, that first Easter morning, changes everything. It changes everything. It changes the course of the direction of the world and where it was headed. It changes stuff for you and for me. And I pray that you leave this place this morning absolutely changed and transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit and our risen Lord. I was reminded of that as we gathered as a staff back on Tuesday of Holy Week. We had a little bit of a staff devotion. And we were going through the readings of Jesus' crucifixion on Good Friday, and we were singing various hymns and just reflecting on what Jesus did for us. And we came to this one that you may be familiar with. It's called, "Were You There?" It goes like this. "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Do you know it? All right, let's sing the next line. "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, 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 sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" And the hymn goes on to talk about things like, were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Those are some gruesome words. If you think about it. And I'm sitting here singing them with hope in my heart. Why do I get to sing words like this, this absolute torment and everything that Jesus had gone through, and I'm singing them with hope in my heart? Well, because Easter changed everything, and we know the rest of the account. We know the historical events that happened. We know that this is not the end of the story. But that wasn't the same for one woman who was very close to Jesus that first Sunday morning. And I'm going to spend a little time reflecting on maybe what she went through, because honestly, she was there when they crucified the Lord. She was there when they nailed him to the tree, and she was there when they laid him in the tomb. And for her, she lost hope. There was no hope in her heart anymore, Mary Magdalene. Actually, that morning when she was heading towards the tomb, she was doing the last thing that she knew what to be able to do, was to take care of the body of her friend, her teacher. And when she and a couple of other ladies were heading towards the tomb, they get there and the stone's rolled away, and she just loses it. She heads back towards where the disciples are gathered. She goes back there and she says something along the lines of, they've taken the Lord's body, and we have no idea where he is. That's my interpretation. Do you hear how beautifully the Apostle John captures the human heart and human condition in that moment? Mary is racked with grief. You see, someone that she cared an awful lot about, someone that saw her when she was in a very deep and dark place, when she was being tormented by spirit upon spirit, someone who believed in her when she didn't even have the power to believe in anything else. She was just being racked by these tormenting spirits. This one who rescued her. This one who she would follow to the very ends of the earth if she had the opportunity to. She was crucified and was nailed to a tree and was laid into a tomb. And she's grieving. All hope lost. Have you ever been there? I'm sure many of us that have been around at least a little bit have experienced grief and this human condition of what we go through. You really can't process everything that's around. And so, really, you kind of go like, did I even brush my teeth this morning? It's like you're thinking through Jell-O when you're grieving. You can't process what's happening around you. And even the basic care needs that you have, they don't seem to matter. And you just go through the motions if you're lucky. If you even have the strength to get out of bed. So when she told that Jesus' body was gone to the disciples, two of them took off. They wanted to go see what is going on for themselves with this devastating news. Who would do such a thing? And so those disciples, they ran off ahead of her. But Mary, she wandered back, racked with grief. The disciples had already come and gone by the time Mary got there, and she is sobbing. She looks in. She's not even able to process the fact that God had a message of hope for her sitting right where Jesus was laying. You would think angels, do you notice those things when they came in? You would think they would, she wasn't able to process it. Dazzling white. They weren't standing, they were sitting. They were sitting where Jesus had been laid. They were waiting for Mary. They were waiting for any of the disciples that would come with a message of hope. And Mary couldn't process what was happening. God had a word, I'm right here, Mary. Good news, Mary. But Mary couldn't deal with it. She couldn't, her brain wasn't allowed to function that way. And so those angels just said, why are you weeping? Well, they've taken my Lord away. Don't know where they've laid him. Then something must have happened where after she said that, maybe the angel stood up in the presence of Jesus. Mary turns around and she sees this man. She doesn't recognize it's Jesus. And I don't think she was being kept by Jesus from recognizing her. I think Jesus wanted her to know he was right there. But because of grief, she couldn't process it. And so he asks her a question, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? You notice he doesn't say what happened. He's asking her, who are you looking for? Because he knows what she's doing. He knows her heart. And she said, sir, if you've taken him away, let me know where he is. I'll take care of it from here. And then he goes, Mary. And in that moment, that wave of grief that she had been experiencing, that was that darkening of her heart, that despair that she had been. Once again, the same voice that had once before rescued her from the deep, dark places of being tormented from those evil spirits years back, that same voice pulling her out of that darkness of despair and grief in that moment, saying, Mary. And Mary's response, Rabboni. Everything's going to be okay. And she clings to Jesus because now she gets to go back and live life with him and do it again. But here's the thing. Jesus has another teaching for her in that moment. He's not interested in going back to the way things were before. Actually, going back to the way things were before, I almost wonder if it's not a godly pursuit, because that's not the way God operates. Jesus tells her, do not cling to me yet, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. He's basically saying, there is more work to be done. We have a future to look forward to, Mary, and I'm going to use you that I've rescued and redeemed, and you're the first witness to this. You see, God's not interested in going back to the way things were before, where there was sin and his world was separated from him. God's not interested in doing that. Had he been interested in going back to the way things were before, he could have very easily just started all over with paradise. But that's not what he did when Adam and Eve fell into sin. No, through his promise, all the way to the very end of the age, where he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Behold, I am making all things what? New. Jesus is interested in the new, not just in restoration. He's not trying to make things like they were before. No, there's so much more we have to look forward to. We are a new creation. God creating in us a new and contrite spirit, a new and clean heart. That's what Jesus is interested in. He's not just interested in just restoring the same old. He wants new. And he says, do not cling to me, Mary. And so how about for you and for me today? Has Easter changed you? The hope of the resurrection that you have in your heart, has it changed who you are? I pray it has. Because you're going to leave this place in about an hour.
What?
You're going to leave this place after we've had communion. Yeah. You're going to leave this place and the devil's going to come at you with those same old sins. There's some of you that are going to give in. Don't do it. You have power over those sins because of what Jesus has done for you. Don't sin. You've been made new. Are you wishing that, man, it'd be nice to be young again? Really? Do you want to go back through life only to have to learn the same things that you've learned now? We have wisdom if you're here a little older in your years. Do you have regrets? Now, regrets are either your voice speaking to yourself or someone else saying, you're a mess up, you're a failure. God doesn't say that to you. What we do is we have made mistakes, and so we learn from those mistakes, and we use those to teach ourselves and teach others. As God's Holy Spirit, he doesn't say you are a shame, you are a failure. No. He says you're redeemed, you're new. Folks, we have hope. Easter changes everything. And even when we gather at a place like this on a Christian funeral, and we have to say goodbye to people that we love, it's not goodbye. We're going to see those that have fallen asleep in the faith again. We have that resurrection hope. When Jesus rose from the dead, he's given us that same hope. We have it living and dwelling within us. It's true. Jesus is alive. And so will you be. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, yet he die, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will live. He asks the question, do you believe this? So church, do you believe in the resurrection? You need me to start all over again? I want you to sing the last verse of that hymn that we started off with a little hope in your heart. It goes like this. It says, were you there when God raised him from the tomb? All right, let's do it again. Were you there when God raised him from the tomb? Let's start that over. Were you there?
Is risen.